Pray. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On November 8th of this year, all those eligible to vote in this country can vote for the next president of the United States, whoever that will be. Whoever wins the election for president will not begin to serve, though, until January 20th, 2017. Well, 2 months to get his team of leadership together to choose people who will help him serve as the president of this country and fill out his leadership team who will assist him in governing the country. So 2 months are needed as a time for him or her to do that. Tomorrow is Ascension Day. And so on this eve of Ascension Day, I want for us to consider the importance of Christ's ascension. There are, after all, 40 days, not counting Sundays, in between Easter and Ascension. I want us to consider what Christ did in between Resurrection Day and Ascension Day, and why this feast is important, and why it should be a day of joy and celebration, but also a reminder that the work that God has for Christian believers to do in this life. So, Ascension Day is a day of joy and a reminder of our work for two reasons. First, Christ's ascension is proof that Christ's work on earth was completed, finished, and received by God the Father. His perfect life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection was completed, effective, and received by God the Father. The very fact that Christ was received into heavens, our passage says, he passed through the heavens, shows that his work was done and it was approved by God the Father. Hebrews 4:14 tells us that Jesus, our great high priest and the Son of God, has passed through the heavens. Christ being received into the heavens by God the Father is proof positive that his sacrifice on the cross was effective in making atonement for our sins. And his resurrection was proof that Christ conquered sin and death. The time between Christ's resurrection and ascension not only was a time in which Jesus was able to give several appearances to the disciples. He wanted them to know beyond a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, it's me. Touch me. Feel me. I'll eat a piece of fish in front of you. This isn't Casper the Friendly Ghost. I got flesh. Go ahead, touch me. I'm alive again. Of course, he could have also reminded them, I told you so. Many, many times through the Gospels, he said he was going to be handed over to the chief priests, crucified, but on the third day, rise again. And so they were able to behold him and see him. In fact, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, records a resurrection appearance that's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels, that Jesus appeared to 500 brethren at the same time. Man, our Lord wanted to get across. You're not dreaming. I mean, bizarre theories have tried to be formulated to give any other answer that Christ was raised from the dead. When I was in seminary, one of the theories is all the apostles took some drug and they imagined something. Stupid theories, rather than accept what the Word of God and what Jesus clearly showed, that he was raised from the dead. The Lord also commissioned his apostles and followers during this time to spread the good news of his saving death and glorious resurrection to the ends of the earth, beginning at Jerusalem. So that's another thing he did during this time between resurrection and ascension. This message of the good news of Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension are what we are told to hold fast to cling to, and to continue to both profess with our lips and believe in our hearts. And so the writer to the Hebrews tells us, because Jesus has passed through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession. Cling to this. Grasp onto it. This is the best news we could ever receive, and we need to continue and persevere in this great and glorious good news. The second reason why Christ's ascension should be a cause of joy is that because Christ is presently seated at the right hand of God the Father, it shows that his present work right now is making intercession for us. But what does that mean? What that means is this. In the words of Hebrews 4:14 through 16, since Christ's work on earth is done, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. And Christ will hear our prayers and answer them in accordance with his will because of what he has done for us and who he is, our great high priest, the Son of God. The same person of the Holy Trinity who came and lived among us, who taught his disciples, who lived a righteous life without sin, who died on the cross and rose again, this same Jesus now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, both God and man. Yes, Jesus still has a body. It's a glorified and a resurrected body. And as I remind each of you at each funeral, Christ is going to raise that body. No longer having the aches and pains and all the other effects of sin, but a body. Jesus passed into the heavens, both God and man. And he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. We come to God the Father in prayer through the person and work of God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we can pray effectively and come boldly to God the Father, through God the Son, by God the Holy Spirit. So we need to rejoice and be thankful that God himself has paved the road for us to be reconciled to God so that we can approach him in prayer. The highway to God has been paved so that we can come to God humbly and boldly. Jesus, being seated at the right hand of God, acts as our advocate. 1 John 2 calls him our advocate, our defense attorney. The one who represents God the Father and acknowledges us as one of God's children. If we look back in the Old Testament, the picture of Job in Job chapter 1 is that Satan is before God making accusations against Job before God. Christ interceding for us means that Jesus is saying, your accusations mean nothing. He is one of my child. She is one of my children. Not that God the Father needs a reminder of who we are, but God the Son acknowledges us as a member of God's family. By way of illustrating this truth, when Sarah and I go and watch our children play soccer, we cheer them on and we acknowledge them. Not that she or I need a reminder of who my kid is out there. But we cheer them on because we love them. We not only want them to do their best, we want them to win. This is my child. I love them and I am rooting for them. Getting back to Christ as our high priest, he can perfectly sympathize with us because he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And in fact, he was tempted in ways that we will never be tempted. Thank God I don't have to hang out in the desert for 40 days without food. He went through things that you and I will never go through, and thank God for that. We will never have to go through the agony of Calvary and have to cry out, my God, my God. why have you forsaken me? Jesus endured hell for us because he loves us and he claims us as one of his own. He acts as our high priest, not as one who continues to make sacrifices, for he made the once and for all sacrifice of himself on the cross, but now his work is interceding for us. Because he intercedes for us, we are to boldly come to him and find his mercy and grace to help us in time of need. We can see an example of Christ strengthening a believer based on Christ being at the right hand of God the Father. In Acts 7, verse 54, we hear of Stephen's last words at his trial before he was executed by stoning because of his faith in Christ. Acts 7:54 says this: "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man at the right hand of God.'" Something unique about this vision of Christ: he's not seated at the right hand of the Father. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. Christ stands in defense of his servant Stephen and helps him during this time that he's being brutally murdered to hold fast his confession of Christ as Lord and Savior. Because Christ intercedes for us at the right hand of God, we have the strength to continue to confess Christ as Lord and Savior. The only reason we are able to continue to believe in Christ, because Christ preserves us and strengthens us, strengthens our faith in him as God's only Son and Savior. Christ is standing at the right hand of God the Father. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He helps us in times of trial and temptation, in times of prosperity, and in times of troubles. And God gives us enough grace at that time to make it through. Some of you said to Sarah and I, some of you said to Sarah and me 2 years ago when Madison went through her ordeal, "How'd you make it through?" God put me into special mode. I wasn't losing sleep. I was at peace where I could not have manufactured peace by myself. God gives us special grace when we go through special burdens. If Christ is for us, who can be against us? The Apostle Paul asked this rhetorical question in Romans 8. But notice the whole series of questions that Paul says in this same passage. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." While the Apostle Paul is not denying that there are many things in this world which try to pull us away from the love of Christ and our commitment to the Lord, Christ is with us. He's greater than any curveball the world, the flesh, or the devil can throw at us. And so we have strength to remain true and loyal to him because he's with us. Other people try to lead us astray. Our own hearts tempt us to sin, and the devil tempts us to sin. But we have victory. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Since Christ has ascended into heaven, let us be joyful that His work on earth is done. It's completed. It's finished. But He has work for us to do. Let us then hold firmly to confession of Christ as God and man and our Lord and Savior. And let us also come boldly to God in prayer because of the person and work of His Son. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask You to strengthen us to serve You with joy because of Your Son, His work for us. We pray also, Lord, that You would also give us the spirit of supplication and prayer. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.